have been blessed tonight. It's wonderful singing, choir singing, everything we take for granted so many times. But isn't it wonderful to come to the house of God and be able to worship with singing like we've heard tonight? And then, just to get the service started really good, the preaching of the hour. I have several special prayer requests before we pray. Miss Linda Maxwell, Jay-Z's wife, she's been fighting cancer for 28 years, and now hospice has to come in to the home. They sit right back there always. And Miss Gail Wilkie, Brenda James, David Rice, Leroy Lewis, Stephen Nancy Penix, Jeanette Griffin, Carl and Betty Greer, Johnny Green, Jim Bryan, Janice Bishop, Mr. and Mrs. Israel, Marie Lewis, Marion Riddle, and Ed Glenn, just to name a few. All these people have been so faithful, and then they're not here because they can't be. They really need their prayers in that. And then so many others are not able to be here. So we're blessed in that we're able to be in the house of the Lord. Darren, if you will, come up here. Our son Darren is preaching to us tonight, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. And as soon as he gets here, I'm going to pray for the service and for these special prayer requests. You may have more. Lift his hand. Brother Gunn's already done that. Let's just pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we've been able to worship the songs like this. We've heard tonight, sung by people that love you and you anoint them. We're truly blessed. We want to thank you. Have we been blessed this week by the singing all week long, by the preached word? Then tonight we have another opportunity to open up the pages of your word and hear when your choice of preachers preach as we listen and pray and seek your face. Lord, in addition to all these prayer requests been mentioned, I pray for our nation. Lord, in our lifetime, we've never gone through a time like this. I'm sure it's been worse in times past, but we wasn't here. Lord, one of these golden daybreaks, you're going to come. And the only question will be, as the songwriter says, is it well? Is it truly well with their soul? It can be because of shed blood. We love you, Jesus. In thy name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you too. Well, I love your pastor. Love to hear him pray, don't you? Tremendous to hear the man of God pray. I can remember times that we would get in trouble at home, and my dad would go down the hall, and he would go into his bedroom, and he would get in there and pray. And he would pray and say, God, please take my anger away from correction to those boys. And we'd slip across the hall and hear him in there praying. Dear God. We'd get back across the hall and we'd start praying. Remember mercy in these days, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it's been a joy to be with you. I'll get situated here in just one second. It's been a joy to be with you this week. We want to begin tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We want to begin reading in verse number 3. And I'll ask if you will please stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your worship. Thank you, Father, for your work. Thank you for these people that have gathered tonight, Lord, to learn more about Jesus and to lift up their voices in praise unto you. Father, I pray for our nation tonight. I pray for the churches that comprise this great nation. Lord, I was thinking earlier today, in some places, if the Holy Ghost should be removed, they wouldn't even know it. But God, I pray that you'd help us to not take for granted the assembling of ourselves together, the power of the Holy Ghost in this church, working in our lives. And I pray tonight, God, you'd help us not to take it for granted the salvation that Jesus has wrought for us. Help us, Lord, to value it, to treasure it, and to exalt He that gave His life, Jesus, that we might be saved. Help us tonight, Lord, I pray to preach. In Jesus' name I pray and ask, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this evening. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We began on Sunday evening preaching about the water pots that were at the wedding. And then we went Monday night to the book of Genesis at pictures of proposal. Last evening we studied about the witness of the water pot in that woman of Samaria being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, how he must needs go through Samaria. Tonight, I believe the Lord would have us look again into the Old Testament, into the book of Judges, chapter number 6. And we want to preach on this thought tonight. Pictures of promise. Pictures of promise. The book of Judges, chapter number 6. And may I just make this observation tonight before I preach, that I believe that the state of our nation is vastly described in the book of Judges. And I believe the Lord would have us to emphasize some things tonight and may get a little personal to you. And I hope that you'll swallow hard, chew it up good before you do, and you won't get choked tonight. Amen. Judges chapter 6, number 1. We see a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon's sorrowful circumstances. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord over and over, at least six times in the book of Judges that I can think of right now. You're going to see that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They'd do evil. They'd cry out to the Lord and repent. God would start blessing, they'd do good again. Then they'd turn right back to evil. And it was just a cycle. And at least six times, I think this is the fourth of which, reminds me of a young man that was in school, went to school, would open up his lunch pail and unwrapped his sandwich and said, "Ugh, peanut butter." He ate it. The next day, he came back to lunch, he opened his lunch pail. "Ugh, peanut butter. Would you look at that peanut butter?" Third day, he said to his little friend, "I guarantee it's peanut butter again." Opened his lunch pail, unwrapped his sandwich. "Ugh, peanut butter. How horrible." His friend said, "Listen, why don't you tell your mother to stop making those old peanut butter sandwiches?" He said, "You leave my mother out of this. I make these sandwiches." That is the situation that's going on in Israel. Over and over again, they are making their own sandwiches, and then they're complaining about it. They're eating the fruit of their deeds, and it's getting them into trouble as they're departing from the Lord. And God turned them over to their enemies for judgment. And Israel, 7 years under Midianite captivity and bondage, they're intimidated by their enemy, and all they're doing is living a defeated life. They're hiding in the mountains. They're hiding in the caves. And I'm afraid that many of our churches tonight are intimidated and are becoming impoverished because of the deeds of our land. They lost their freedom. They lost their fruitfulness. They lost their food. The Lord's discipline was no doubt upon them. Verse 6, praise God, said that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Verse 7, we see the Lord's displeasure. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." The children of Israel, 7 years, they're impoverished and intimidated. Weren't allowed to go to church, weren't allowed to sing in the choir. And then the children of Israel started crying out to God, and God sent his man to preach his word, to remind them of some truths, some things they've forgotten. And although they'd been crying out, and the man of God had come to preach and tell them what they were doing wrong, they would not hear or heed the word of God, though they were warned. The Bible says in Judges chapter 17, hold your place here, I want you to see it. This occurs two times in the book of Judges, Judges 17, 6. If you believe in underscoring things in your Bible, this is a good one. Judges 17, 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That same statement is made again in chapter 21, verse 25, the last verse in the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. America tonight has no fixed standard of right or wrong. We want to live in a no-fault society. We call what is wrong right. We call what is right wrong. Isaiah said in chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." We are losing the spiritual heritage and legacies that our forefathers have handed down to us. Freedom by freedom, truth by truth, they're being taken away from us as the devil seems to come and go at will. There are 9 steps to growth and disintegration of any nation, any society, and any civilization. Will you hear me just for a moment? Number 1, our forefathers went from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage. Thirdly, from courage to liberty. Fourthly, from liberty to abundance. America is the most abundantly blessed nation on the face of God's green earth. Number 5, from abundance to selfishness. Number 6, from selfishness to complacency. Number 7, from complacency to apathy. Number 8, from apathy to dependence. And number 9, from dependence back to bondage. It's where we are headed now. I remember as a boy going to school just right over here. And I remember seeing pictures and hearing our teacher pray with us and seeing pictures of George Washington bowing his knee and praying to God Almighty in the snow right before the Battle of Valley Forge. But nowadays, in our school, that picture, a Christian school, no longer taught, no longer lifted out. It's sad what's going on. A New York University professor took a study that was funded by the United States Department of Education. Let me say it again, honey. It's a study funded by the United States Department of Education, and I quote, "Textbooks are so written as to present a systematic denial of history, heritage, beliefs, and values of a very large segment of the American people." Do you understand what's going on right now, Preacher Darren? I'm getting a pretty good picture. Let's read the Word of God and see if we can relate Israel to where we are tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 7, you're holding your place in Judges. Jeremiah chapter 7, I just got to get this out because I'm about to bust with it when God gave it to me earlier today. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah, he starts preaching a message, and he declares a message all the way through chapter number 10. And he begins this message with the thought of America or with Israel or with the church tonight or whoever, that we need to amend our ways. Look at verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways." He has a message, I believe. I'm going to just say it's to the American public. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, I won't stay here long. This is a message for the American public about their moral values in the gutter. "Why then is this people of Jerusalem," or America, "slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return." You see, why is it that we can never get better? Perpetually, we backslide every generation. The general mood of our nation is of violence, and truth seemingly has fallen in the street. I have a message for America's pew in chapter 8, verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 14. "Yes, I'm talking to you. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink." Why? "Because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. I'm going to tell you something, church. I love you. You're one of the greatest churches in America. But for us to sit here melancholy, filled with apathy and neglect, it's killing our nation. We need revival in our church. We need revival in my life as a pastor and as an evangelist and a preacher. We need revival. We need to get back on fire again. Oh, God, that would stoke us up. Why do we just sit still and God has just, we just sit here silently and we go around and say, well, we're doing good, aren't we? I went to church. I'm doing good. It's a message for America's public. It's a message for America's pew. What about America's pulpit? Verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Listen, there is balm. Jesus is the balm. Jesus is the great physician. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why are we not recovered when we have the great physician? When we have the power of God available? Chapter 10. I'm going to tell you why. Verse 21. 10:21 starts with me. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. So it's amazing that God could call a young man to preach. Man, he's so nervous and he's praying, he's seeking God's face. And now through the years, he learns how to preach. He learns how to read the crowd and to play off of them. He learns how to make them smile. He learns how to tickle their ears and pat them on the back and to try to encourage them a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. God said in our nation, there are pastors that have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be what? Scattered. I'm going to ask you a question, Fletcher. Pastor, I've not talked to you about this, but do you feel at times we got a great flock, but they're a bit scattered right now? Preacher Darren, that's COVID. Where do you think it came from? What do you think? Think God allowed it? My folk home, man, we got some doing plan A, some plan B, some plan C, some doing plan Z. I've not seen them in years. And our folks, they're scattered. Look at verse 23. Oh, Lord, I know not the way. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What it say in Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Jeremiah says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We cannot direct our own steps. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they've eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Are y'all okay? I know I've left Gideon for just a second, but I want you to see. These things are at play in Gideon's life. These things were at play in Jeremiah's day. These things are in play where we live. Can I show it to you again? Look at Isaiah 1. Look at Isaiah 1. Oh, Lord, help me to get off of this and get back. Isaiah 1. Look at verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation. Does that sound familiar? A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. What a question. What a question. Why should you be stricken anymore? I was talking, my daddy would pray, don't let me whip those boys and correct them in anger. And when God took that from him, he stepped across the hall and he brought loving discipline. into our lives. God says, and there's times my dad cracked that whip, cracked that belt, cracked that hand. Preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, I turned out okay. I know that I turned out okay. I'm got out of counseling. I'm all right now. It's going to be okay. But look at the question. God says, why should you be stricken anymore? The only way you can be stricken anymore is if the striking has already begun. And as the striking has already begun, it's as if it didn't bring correction. It brought more and more revolt. We are worse tonight than we probably have ever been with the violence and the rebellion on our streets. There's a little boy. He's about to be punished. And he was running away. I witnessed this. The daddy, he cried out. He got a hold of the boy. He said, son, submit. You're wrong. Son, humble yourself to it. The little boy screamed and said, you can't hurt me, old man. Daddy put his hands on his arm, trying to hold him. And the boy's trying to drag his daddy. He's trying to get away from him just as much as he can. And the dad cried out, son, humble yourself. You know you're wrong. Please humble yourself to it. You can't hurt me, old man. Go ahead and try. And finally, the daddy was exhausted, and he let him go. The daddy took his belt off and knelt down in front of his boy, and he said, here, son, any daddy that can't help his own boy ought to be whipped himself. And it broke the boy's heart. Do you know, because of our rebellion, because of the revolt that's in our heart, God the Father, in the form of the Son, bowed himself and said, here, take the belt and whip me. And they did. They beat him. And they nailed him to an old rugged cross. God Almighty gave his back to the crowd one time. But that's the last time. And I believe this with all my heart. In Gideon's day, in Isaiah's day, in Jeremiah's day, these verses, verse 6, from the sole of the foot unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. I just want to take time out and say this. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We see Gideon's sorrowful circumstances. Number two, we see Gideon's special call. The Bible says in Judges chapter 6, verse number 11, during this time of revolt and rebellion, there came an angel of the Lord. This, let me take time out. This is a Christophany. It is a pre-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Every time they would sow a crop and the crops would come up, the Midianites would come and take away the harvest and they had nothing. And so Gideon, out of fear, doesn't go up to where you usually would winnow out the wheat on the top of the hill where the wind would blow away the chaff. He goes down to the valley of the wine press, and he's working in the wheat down there. And as he does, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Here's a man hiding in defeat, discouragement, downtrodden, a man living in fear. And for just a moment, he took his eyes off the enemy, and the Lord appeared right to him. He got his eye on the Lord. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The Lord spake to him, and God speaks to us through his word and through his spirit. And here's a man discouraged, a man defeated, a man living in fear. And Jesus shows up and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I'm sure he didn't feel like a man of valor, a man of courage, a man of honor. He was a man hiding out. He was a man that was lowly. And Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" Can you just imagine Gideon thinking, "Here I am, hiding out. We've been in oppression 7 years. We've never seen worse times than we have now. And the Lord shows up and says, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I'm going to use you to bring correction and change and deliverance to the Israelites.'" You're talking to me? Who can I go back here and just get? Bring up, "The Lord said you're going to do it." Me? I'm hiding in my pew. I'm cowering in fear. I'm afraid the preacher's going to come get me right now. That's how Gideon felt. Listen to him. He said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." He's saying, "I'm the least of the least." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he starts asking for a sign. And he asks him to sit down and eat with him. And he does. And the Lord stokes up the fire. And he begins to consume what they're going to eat. And fire comes up from him. In fact, look with me down here in verse 36. Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." You see that? He said, "I'm going to put a fleece down." And he said, "If the dew falls tonight, and it only falls on this one fleece, and everything else is dry, God, I'll know it's you." Now the dew, I started thinking about how the dew falls. It's when the cold ground, we're cold, and the warm air from above starts to mix. There's condensation, and the dew falls silently. The power of God fell right upon that fleece, but the ground around it was completely dry. God said, "I chose you, Gideon. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to give you power, and you are going to deliver Israel." Gideon said, "I don't think I'm done yet." He said unto God, verse 39, "Let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak, but this once let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew." And that night, God let the dew fall silently, got the atmosphere up just right, and all the ground was wet with dew, but the fleece was just as dry as dust. God said, "I'll use Israel under your leadership to defeat the Midianites, and you and Israel will go free." In chapter 7, verse 1, this is important. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Gideon had stood up. He had blown the trumpet. There began to assemble to him men of war, men that were going to help him to stand against the Midianites, and said, "They may have come 7 years and taken their harvest, bless God, but they're not coming again." Isn't it amazing in our churches how many young people grow up in our churches, and when they get about harvest time to start getting out and going, the devil takes them right out of your church. It's one of the hardest groups to get in your church to stay faithful. It's because the Midianites are coming to try to take them away, to take away the harvest. Hear me. Said they're not coming back an eighth time. He's assembled 32,000 men. Now they're going up against hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and they're vastly outnumbered. The Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." In other words, you have too many, Gideon. You have 32,000 people. If you get victory like this, a bunch of your people's going to say, "Look what we did." Churches do it all the time. "Look what we did. Look, such and such happened. I prayed for it. Give me the microphone. I just want y'all to know, I'm the one prayed for that. No glory for me, but I'm the one prayed. I'm the one God used. I just want y'all to know, I'm the one God used." But it makes God sick. God said, "You got too many with you." Gideon's saying, "Huh? We're outnumbered 5-1, maybe 10-1 now." He says, "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid." Have you heard those words lately? If you're afraid to go to church, stay home. It'll be all right. And it will. Amazing you ain't afraid to go to Walmart. Amazing you ain't afraid to go to Lowe's. Amazing you ain't afraid to stand there down there at Social Security office for hours at a time. It's just amazing to me. But God said, "Gideon, you got too many with you. Let me pare them down for you. If they're afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." Gideon said, "Well, it's okay, God. I mean, if they're afraid, I mean, they've come. I blew a trumpet. They came. They ain't afraid of nothing. We got 32,000 men of valor. Okay, there may be 2 or 3 people stay home. But they coming because we're having revival down here. They going to be here, God." Gideon said, "Whoop-a-doo! Hear ye, hear ye. All of ye that are afraid to go to the battle, God says you're welcome to stay home and watch it online, what God's going to do." And 22,000 people, read it, they returned to the people 22,000. The remained 10,000. Two-thirds went home. I preach in churches all the time. I've never seen the like of revivals canceling. And for good reason, I understand. And I'm going to tell you something. Our churches are down to about, some are down to a third, some are down two-thirds, some down a half, some down to a quarter of the people coming that used to come. But preacher, dear, now, this just does not relate. God has said to our churches, "I appreciate what y'all are doing, but you have too many with you. When I send revival to America, you're going to think you did it. But I'm going to separate, I'm going to show you, it's not you that does it. It's me, and I'm going to get the glory in the earthen vessels that I choose to use." Verse 4, y'all okay? Now we're talking about a vision, and we're talking about valor. Now let's talk about some vigilance. "The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many."
Are you kidding, God? Have you looked at our people scattered everywhere? I got friends, pastor friends. Man, they used to preach against Facebook like crazy. Facebook was the devil, they said. And now they're preaching on it all the time. God said, you got too many with you, Gideon. Bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So Gideon brought them down to the water. And here was the test. Here's these 10,000 men out of 32,000. They've been marching. They're tired. They're weary. They get to water. And a bunch of them, as soon as they seen the water, jumped into the water, and they started just drinking it right off the sides, right on their bellies. Some of them got down and began to scoop it up and begin to lick it like a dog. Preacher, you can't say that. Well, I'm just an old dog. And God said, Gideon, the ones that had their heads up wasn't laid out on their belly. They're not focused. The enemy could easily defeat them. The only thing they're worried about is making sure that their flesh is comfortable and their thirst is quenched and satisfied. But for those that still got their head up, they're aware of the enemy. And they're drinking. Those are the ones that I want you to take with you in the battle. But God, there's only 300 of them. These 9,700 on their face. They're on their face, God. They're on their face. God said, yeah, but send them home. Preacher Darren, I just don't understand about this fearful thing. Hear me. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Philippians 1:28 says, we are in nothing to be terrified by our adversaries. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You see, fear is something that suits you for failure and not for fighting. Moses sent out 12 spies. They came back. 10 said, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, oh, yes, we can. God said, it's ours. We're going to take it. But the fear spread by the 10 went out everywhere, and it completely caused Israel to wander for 40 years in the middle of a wilderness. And now God has cut the crowd from 32,000 to 300. I'm the math teacher. That is not even 1%. It is less than 1%. Fletcher First Baptist, you better value what you have right now. Because what if God says, I'm going to make another cut, and you're going to go to 1%? We got a church payment. We got prayer to cut on. How are we going to? Let me tell you something. I'm just going to be real honest. God don't need us. We need him. We need him. And God cut him to less than 1%. And he said, now you're ready to go to the battle. Verse number 9. Vitality. That means life. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, remember how afraid Gideon used to be? And he still in the flesh has that tendency. He says, if you're afraid to go down there, if you have fear, go thou with Phura, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phura his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for the multitude. Their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Can you just imagine Gideon and Phurah? They sneak down where the campfires are of the enemy. Let's scout and see how many there are. Let's figure out what we're going to do about it. And one of them says, hey, man, I had a dream last night. You did? What'd you dream? I dreamed a loaf of bread came, barley bread. I mean, it's the cheapest, poorest brand of bread that there is. Came rolling down the hill, hit the tent, knocked it down. His buddy said, what? That's got to be Gideon. God's going to use him to wipe us out. Man, what are we going to do? Gideon heard that the enemy was scared of him. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. How you like my jacket? Thank you. I wore this suit tonight because this is a special suit. I want to tell you why. This suit can stand up on its own. I just want you to watch. It can stand. And it can do all, it can wave at you and do all kinds of watch. I don't like disobedient coats. Wave at everybody. Here. Maybe you can hold my Bible. Hold my Bible. Oh, yeah. I remember now. Now stand there, coat. Wave at everybody, coat. Hold my Bible, coat. Preacher, I don't follow you. You see, this coat is Gideon. He's afraid, discouraged, and he can't do one thing. He can't stand on his own. He can't lead or wave at anybody on his own. He can't give directions. He can't carry the word of God on his own. But God came upon Gideon. And when God gets hold of his man, you can stand. You can lead. You can direct. You can serve. You can worship, and friend tonight, you can declare the word of God, and God will give you victory. Preacher Darren, I'm not following you. Look at chapter 6, verse 34. 634, I'm almost done. You'll say, glory, hallelujah. 634. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You see that? Hallelujah. Earlier he said, go, in verse 14, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He said, verse 16, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God wore Gideon like a suit of clothes. And God is interested in wearing you like a suit of clothes and help you stand for our nation. Pray and bow and pray for our nation and believe God for our nation and watch what God's going to do. Keep your head up. Don't put your head down. Don't get discouraged. We see Gideon's sweeping conquest. Back to chapter 7. When Gideon heard their fear, and he said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. The rapture didn't happen yet. Verse 20. The three companies are headed down the hill towards the Midianites. The three companies blew the trumpets. Boldness. Blowing the trumpet of the Word of God. Declaring God's truth in faith, believing Him. And break their pitchers. Now, I can't break this because Miss Gina would absolutely kill me. But the pitcher is an earthen vessel. It is a picture of your life and my life, and we're empty. Within this earthen vessel was a lamp. And when they broke it, smashed it, fell to pieces, the earthen vessel fell away. They've got, I think it's in their left hand, their lamp and a sword, right? And a trumpet. They've got a trumpet. And this is what they said. Trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The only weapons that they had. Look at it again. They had a pitcher that was broken in their left hand. And they had a trumpet in their right hand. And with their voice they said, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. And when they yelled that, the enemy heard it, and God brought confusion to them, and they ran all over each other, and Israel began to chase them and defeat them and whoop the tarnation out of them. I want to say that tonight, what is missing in our churches and in your life is this: brokenness. We see a lot of you. We hear a lot of you, but God is interested that we glorify the light that's inside the earthen vessel. Are you saved? Are you saved? Jesus lives inside you. If you could get broken. Broken about what? Broken about our nation. Broken over our churches. Broken over our moral decline and sin on the increase in our nation. If we could get broken about our sons and our daughters, broken about our marriages, broken about our families, broken. He said, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. Do you see? Brother Jason came up last night and he said, that verse 3 is getting me. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We see a lot of Gideon. We see a lot of the 300 that's with him. When they got broken, that gospel, that light which is Christ, is exposed for the world to see. No longer is light concealed. A broken pitcher means light is now revealed. They've become people of victory. I got one more thing. Y'all okay? One more thing. Back to Isaiah. Won't you see it? This may get me in trouble, but here we go. Isaiah chapter 1. We saw what's going on in Isaiah's day. The country's desolate. The cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour the land in your presence. It's overthrown by strangers. Look at verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Remnant. What's remnant? Fragments. Discard. Rejection. Pieces that were not wanted. Distorted. Discolored. Disregarded. But God takes what's left, trims it up, turns us into something great. I'm talking about the remnant of Israel, the remnant of the church. Except the Lord of hosts hath left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear what God did there? God came down himself and told Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy it. Abraham began to intercede, oh God, if there's 50, he said, I won't destroy it. 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. I'm thinking Lot, his wife, his daughters, there's 10 of them. Surely they're right with God. They weren't right. God got Lot out, his wife, his daughters, his wife looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. Yet God destroyed those cities. God said that if Israel or America would be like Sodom and Gomorrah, except for the fact that God has left a very small remnant. Tonight I am supporting that you are that remnant. Hallelujah. Our laws in our nation have tossed out God, and we have installed immorality as our law. And America thinks she's broadened her horizons. She's got acceptable thinking, tolerance, and accommodation. But I'm telling you, God's not happy. If God had not left a small remnant, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt's lost its savor, it's no good. God left you here. You know what ought to happen? Our governor ought to call an executive order and write it down and say, I want to personally thank our churches for continuing to pray and serve God, because were it not for them, we would have been a Sodom and Gomorrah and completely destroyed. Amen. But it's not how it's working, is it? But how does God see it? God who outranks the president. God who outranks the governor. God said, had I not left a remnant, they would have been destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm done. You stand to your feet tonight. I believe there's some folks here. I've tried to encourage you, tried to enlighten you. Preacher Darren, I could cut on the news and see what's going on in our nation. You didn't need to tell me that. If somebody come to PN, I believe there's some people here that you ought to come slip down this altar and say, oh God, I've seen enough of me. God, I need to be broken. Broken over my sin. Broken over our nation. I'm telling you, if you've ever prayed at this church, now's the time you need to pray. Now's the time you need to get on your knee and humble yourself and say, oh God, what's going to happen to our children? Oh God, what's going to happen to our nation? Oh God, what's going to happen to our churches? Oh God, we need you. Oh, we got to get broken over our sin and say, oh God, would you forgive us of our actions and our deeds? And God, we ask you to come down. Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's what we need to do, youngins. We need to seek the face of Almighty God. These are pictures of promise. And God said, if we would but pray, it'd stem the tide. And God would turn this thing around. God is going to send revival. I believe it with all my heart. If you're watching online, I challenge you. Get down by the dining room table. Get on your knees beside your sofa. Get on your knees down there somewhere and call on the name of the Lord. Oh, God, tonight. Lord, we are of men most miserable. Lord, we are men of unclean lips, and we dwell amongst an unclean people. Oh, God, forgive us of our iniquity, our trespass, our sin. Both I and my father's house, we have sinned against you wickedly. God, I pray tonight, Father, you'd forgive us, Lord, of our apathy. You'd forgive us of our tolerance and of our accommodation. Help us tonight, God, I pray. Lord, tonight, would you send a fire and let it begin with me? God, would you help me tonight, God? Lord, would you break? God, would you help us to break that pitcher, to break that old earthen vessel?
that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. God, would you help us to declare the truth? God, would you help us to pray and seek your face? God, would you help us to stand and lead our families? God, would you help us, Lord, I pray? Would you get in us? Would you get on us? Would you get amongst us? God, would you get above us? Would you get below us? God, will you go with us? Lord, we want to go with you. Lord, you lead, you God, not our way, your direction. And God, I know everything is right on your timetable, but the children of God are crying out, God, would you help us? And Lord, you send me in to preach the word of God. And oftentimes our cry, when we hear the word, it falls on deafened ears because all we want to do is do something to entertain ourselves and to rest and get comfort. Tonight, God, I pray that our cry, like the children of Israel, would be heard. And God, you'd turn our nation. Help us, O God. Turn us, Father. Our cities are destroyed. The walls are burnt with fire. They're blasted down, chiseled down. They fall into the ground. Help us, God, that truth would one day stand again. Help us, Lord, I pray, in our nation. Bless our president. Bless our governor. Bless our people, Lord. Touch us, God. Save the sinner. Lord, help us, God. Edify the saints and exalt our Savior. God, we ask your blessing in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen and amen.
Mighty encouraging to me. I mean, all we have to do.